Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey team, just Dave here at the top of the episode to tell you what you're about to listen to was recorded live in London just a couple of weeks ago now, the third last show of our UK tour. If you're obsessed with putting things in order, this was actually the one recorded in the afternoon before our Christmas episode that we put out last week. So thank you so much to everyone that came along to those, packed out both London shows, some of the best times I've ever had doing a podcast live on the stage. I'm just going to put a note at the top here that there is a middle section where Matt goes and joins the audience as he often does, and then there's a bit of a strange thing. I'm sure it will come across in the recording, but just so you know, there was a lady in the audience who could not get over the fact that Matt looked a lot like her brother. Yes, that is as bizarre as it sounds, and I was told that this lady talked throughout the entire show, so I apologise to everyone that we tried our best to try and take control of the situation, and I hope you can hear that there. We were quite perplexed. But apart from that, I think this is a really, really fun episode. It's a fascinating topic about a guy with a really interesting life. I won't give it away just in case you haven't read who it's about. But please enjoy this episode, our second last one for the year, I believe, that we'll be putting out, but we won't be taking a break over December or January. We are powering right through, so don't worry about that. Enjoy the episode, and I'll be back at the end with a few of our Patreon reads. I did not need to pause there. Love you guys. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 229 The Venue. How you doing out there? All right, cheer now if you're ready to podcast. Cheer now if your name is Greg. Oh my God, Greg didn't turn up. The show has been cancelled. No, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out. Could you please put your hands together and welcome to the stage all the way from Melbourne, Australia, it's Do Go On! You good? Thank you so much for coming out, and thank you so much to Jess Perkins for closing the curtain. I appreciate that. A true professional. Oh, by the way, let's give it up for Jess and Matt.
Jess and Matt.
I was going to say Matt Stewart there, but didn't give him the benefit of the last name. You know who he is. Hi, Matt.
I'm Matt Stewart. This is...
A hazard, yeah.
Hi. And hi to you as well.
Who's ready for the stage dive part of the evening? I'm aiming for you. He looks strong.
Who? Who are we looking for?
Hello.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
As soon as you said hello, I downgraded that straight. I'm so sorry. Hello.
This big tough man will catch me. Yeah. No. No. We'll all plunge to our death. Hello, everyone.
Hi. How you doing up the back? Just making sure you could hear me. All good.
You're a very polite crowd. I think it's because it's 5 p.m.
You wouldn't know that because the sun set about 7 hours ago.
It's a dark place.
Yeah, what the fuck is this place?
What is going on here?
It's summer at home.
It's crazy. 37 degrees tomorrow in Melbourne,
yeah.
It is. Yeah, that is too hot. You're right. We are happy to be away from that.
London's sick, though. I accidentally walked across a ruins today. You got so many ruins, you can just stumble upon them. There was I looked up and a man was walking his dog across. It took a piss on
King
Edward III's house. You don't give a fuck. Oh, we got lots of kings, no worries. That's just one from the 1300s. Anyway, I couldn't believe it. Honestly, that dog took a piss on your... And you don't care. Imagine if it was a corgi taking a piss on your current monarch.
That probably happens daily.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I don't like dogs.
Oh.
Who's with me?
Sorry, what?
This has been a debate that's been happening between these two for the entire 2 weeks. It's been a lot of fun.
I got a puppy and it makes me a better person than him, so...
It makes him a stinkier person. Nah, good on dogs. Well, I think they've all done they've all got their part to play. Just do it away from my house.
And Edward III's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Respect houses.
Yeah, that's it.
That's dumb. Dave, start the show.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight here in London. What an absolute pleasure it is to be back at 229 The Venue. Give me a round of applause if you've ever heard our show Do Go On before. Thank you. Fantastic, love that. Why do I feel like they're ganging up on me?
I even dressed like that today. Oh, I'm sad.
Wow, that was
true. Very happy.
Shut up, sad man.
Other end of the scale, give me a round of applause if you've never heard our show before. Mate, I think it's just you tonight. And one in the front.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I've never seen someone as proud as that. Great to have you in. Have you been dragged along?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any idea what this show is?
No.
Absolutely not. Fantastic.
What do you think of it so far?
It's great.
It's a show called Dog Debate.
Where do you stand? On the dog.
On the dog?
Wow.
Sounds like you're on Team Matt then. Get off the dog!
Yeah, that's a third position. On the dog. Not with the dog.
Well, great to have you here nonetheless, dog killer. And what we do here at the show is we take it in turns to report on a topic usually suggested by a listener. And tonight it is my turn to report on a topic. Thank you kindly. Thank you so much.
Supportive cheers to you. Hurtful to us. But...
Yeah.
No, nobody said thank God out loud. But we all thought it.
And we always start with a question to get us onto topic. And I have a question for Matt and Jess. And if they can't get it, we will throw it over to you, the audience.
Okay.
But I've got high hopes for you guys tonight.
Thank you.
My question is, the life of which man combines three of our favourite types of topic?
Did he say ma'am? Did he? I don't...
Look, you've already interrupted. This is your answer. What is it? This is it. You only get one chance.
Did he say ma'am?
Man.
Man.
Yes.
We've been here so long, we can't...
Which man? Tell me everything you've said so far again.
Okay.
I'll get this.
The life of which man, M-A-N,
okay,
combines three of our favourite types of topic, Hollywood, music, and World War II badassery?
Frank Sinatra? He's old.
They are very old.
Yeah.
Okay. Still?
Are they? Oh, it's the Baddy Booba Dabba Dooba Dibbidi Boo. That band, the Chugawaga Chugis.
No, it is. Remember, the life of which man?
Okay.
All right.
New info. Let's see.
Yeah, sorry, I should have led with that fact, shouldn't I?
I stand by Matt's original answer.
Colonel Sanders?
No.
He doesn't really do any of those. But he was a man, was he?
Yes.
Okay.
Does anyone know?
Christopher Lee.
Oh. It is Christopher Lee. Oh. Well done.
This has been suggested a lot, I think.
A lot. Yeah, because he was a vampire or something?
Oh, yeah. He's been suggested by 18 people.
Whoa.
I'm going to read out their names real quick here, just in case any of you are in tonight. Thanks so much for suggesting this. If your name is Kerid Wen from Western Australia, Pete Jobson from Accrington here in the UK, Michael Berenzi from New York, Sam Lillis from Sydney, Justin Godley from Canada, Nicholas Columbus Flanders Farmer.
I bet he's in tonight. Are you in?
From WA, Fraser Green from Canada, Johnny Dawson from Leicester. Nope, not here. Okay, fair enough. Brent Carpenter from Barnstaple in North Devon.
You know what?
Are you telling me that that is... You've combined the word barn and the word staple and then come up with a completely new meat.
What is it? Barnswapple. Okay.
Okay, that's
sorry.
Dumb.
Let me go again. Brent Carpenter from Barn Truppel in North Devon.
Well, you know, at least he knows how to do a scone right. Cream first.
A scone. A scone. You'll get...
Devon. Devon.
All right, calm down.
It is scone, right? It's scone.
Who fucking cares? They cared in Dublin, actually. They cared.
I cared
a lot. It's a scone. That's Scottish.
It is kind of funny that you've gone, who cares, when you were the one who corrected me.
Yeah, true. I just don't want to get mobbed. We're really outnumbered. Take like 200 of them and then you guys are on your own.
Do you reckon they'd mob over scones? Mob over scones.
Just over halfway through this list, guys, so... Devin Bruns from Cedar Rapids, Sean Gallagher from Mokena. Yeah. No correction there, all right. Susie Odorico from Hervey Bay in Queensland, James Rampant from Victoria, Mr. L.H. Jones from Wrexham, Will Hudson from Essex.
Why are you doing this?
John Collins from Ireland, Jay Swan III, I'm just making them up now.
You just wanted to say the Flanders one.
I did, and also Adam Knight from Croydon in South London. Are you here? Are you here? Yes! Worth it. Absolutely worth it. Yes. Thank you so much. What you don't know is I paid that man £20 to pretend to be. So. All right. So do you know anything about Christopher Lee apart from the vampire stuff?
I was in some sort of one of the Star movies, Trek or Wars. No? Fuck.
Yeah, one of those is right. Jess, any info on...
Yeah, heaps, but I mean, you'll get to it anyway. So.
All right, thank you.
Step on your toes there. So, yep.
All right, well, Christopher Lee was born on the 27th of May, 1922 in Thank you so much. I thought that you were interrupting because I'd mispronounced 1922. he was born in Belgravia, a well-to-do suburb here in London, less than 3 miles from this venue.
Oh.
There you go. He was the son of Lieutenant Colonel Geoffrey Trollope Lee. That's a fun name. And Countess Estelle Mary, who came from the historically powerful Italian Cardini family. She was a former Chanel model and was painted and sculpted by multiple artists. A bit of a muse. Referred to as an Edwardian beauty.
She just had a really boxy head. It was a lot easier. Yeah. It's a lot easier to sculpt. She's got a perfectly square head. Ah, done. Great.
She could trace her lineage back to Charlemagne, who ruled most of Western Europe in the 700s. So Christopher Lee was related to the first Holy Roman Emperor. This man with an extraordinary background would have an extraordinary life, and his childhood and early years would really influence his acting throughout his life.
He was a method actor.
Yes. Mm. He lived through some weird stuff, which I'm going to tell you about. His parents separated when he was 4 and divorced 2 years later, and he lived for a time in Switzerland. Matt, any connection to...
Ah, yes. Some of you here might know that I'm one... What are we up to?
16th.
1/16th Swiss-Italian, and so I'm probably related as well. It's actually 1/4, but Dave's really trying to water it down. I'm actually quite diverse in myself. If anyone wants to offer any grants, yeah, it's about time... that a guy who's a few different kinds of white got a leg up.
So he lived for Switzerland for a time before his mother, the Countess Estelle, married Harcourt George St. Croix Rose, who was the uncle of a little-known writer called Ian Fleming. So Ian Fleming, the man that would go on to create James Bond, was Lee's step-cousin.
Okay.
What is that?
I feel like you wouldn't care unless Ian Fleming went on to be famous, you know?
Did Ian Fleming go on to be famous?
We'll find out. His mother mixed with some exotic and exciting characters throughout his childhood, and this is Lee recalling meeting some people when he was younger. Quote, when I was a small boy, I was hauled out of bed by my mother in our home in Kensington, saying, come downstairs and I'll introduce you to two men who are here for dinner. She told me, you probably won't remember what they look like, but one day you'll remember that you met them. And he would remember them. The men were both Russian aristocrats, Grand Duke Dmitry Pavlovich and Prince Yusupov, who I've mentioned on this show before, because they are known for their part in assassinating the Russian monk and mystic Rasputin.
Whoa.
Come to dinner. Rasputin's killers are here. For... She woke him up for that.
Did they? They didn't get a hold of the dick, did they? Rasputin's magic dick. Do you have... Yeah, that's the magic of the dick. People can't control themselves around it. There was a past episode Dave told us about Rasputin's dick. It actually cured people, so maybe read a book.
About a dick. Lee acted a bit in school, bit of dabbling in the theatre clubs, that kind of stuff, but he moved around before his father went bankrupt and his mother divorced her second husband, so both Lee and his sister Zandra had to get jobs. So he went to France to find work, and during this time he witnessed the execution of Eugene Weidman, who was executed by a guillotine, and this was the last public execution performed in France. And he just happened to be there when it was happening.
It's actually guillotine.
This was 1939. Good year. 1939 historically is not a good year. For a couple of reasons.
Yeah. It's quite the opposite, yeah.
But they were still guillotining people in 1939.
Bad year.
Yes. Much more historical. Are you saying it's a bad year because they stopped guillotining people in that year? Horrific.
This is the man who's going to catch you. Yeah.
I'm getting less and less confident. Lee's childhood connections to Ian Fleming, Rasputin, and witnessing this execution would all come back into his later acting career. He's a method man, as he said. So that's his childhood, but now it's time to enter the World War II badass part of his life. When the Second World War broke out, 1939, not a good time, as a 17-year-old, Lee volunteered to fight for the Finnish forces during the Winter War. He and the other English soldiers were kept away from fighting, so the following year, Lee enlisted in the Royal Air Force, where he worked as an intelligence officer, specialising in decoding German ciphers, because one thing I haven't mentioned is the fact that Lee spoke 6 languages fluently.
That's too many.
Including...
Four more or one less.
Yeah. You get it now.
You just want him to forget French or something.
Who needs it?
He can speak English, Spanish, French, Italian and German, and also knew a fair bit of Russian and Greek.
How?
I think most of those are basically the same. Buongiorno, 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 they're all...
Yeah, that's true.
He then served time in North Africa, where he was based with the Long Range Desert Group, which was a precursor of the SAS, the Real Badasses. Mm. Lee then moved behind enemy lines from base to base, sabotaging Luftwaffe planes and airfields along the way. He was assigned to the Special Operations Executive, a.k.a. the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Whoa.
Oh, we've talked about it on the show before. He was there.
If that guy wasn't baffled before, the one who's never heard it before, didn't realise this is the one that brought them all together. Yes. This is our, that movie at the end of the Marvel movies.
Well, I mean...
All good things must end in arse packing, so...
I will try and tie everything in. He conducted espionage, sabotage and reconnaissance in occupied Europe.
Reconnaissance.
It would have been way better. Here's a montage of him performing espionage and sabotage. Just him going...
Which one's that? Espionage?
Yeah.
Which one's... How do you do sabotage? Oh, yeah. Now do some reconnaissance.
Yeah.
Fuck, he's good.
Thank you. Thank you.
He has a drama degree. Can you believe it?
Oh, I was going to keep this to myself, but that does remind me of what I caught out the corner of my eye backstage. I was riding with my headphones on. Out the corner
Fuck
of my
you.
Eye, Dave's looking. No, it wasn't you.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, there's that as well.
Yeah.
But Dave, you didn't see it, I don't think. I don't think Dave saw it. Anyone saw it. He was looking at himself in the mirror.
He does that a lot.
And then he did this manoeuvre. Oh, I'm not going to try and recreate it. You can... Well, I know a guy who could recreate it, probably. But basically, he did a spin, clapped, and pointed at himself in the mirror.
He does this a lot.
Okay, what you're talking about is the classic turn, pivot, clap, double gun.
No, he didn't... He did it for no one but himself.
He does this all the time.
I honestly thought that was going to embarrass him bringing it up, but
no.
It only emboldened him.
He also made up a song backstage about comedy and how he's always doing comedy.
Yeah, but it did end with me saying, laugh, you fuckers, laugh, laugh. I swear I'm funny. I swear I'm... I had a breakdown anyway. You got to do what you got to do to get ready. Okay. So he's a spy. I'm trying to tell you he's a spy.
Yes.
Guess what his nickname was?
Oh, Spy McSpyington.
So close. Spy or Duke, which are both, I mean, especially Spy is a terrible nickname for a spy. This is Spy, I mean, Christopher Lee. All
right. Or Duke. Duke's a pretty cool nickname.
Duke sounds like a guy that would pivot, spin, clap, double
Stop
gun.
Trying to get a nickname.
Yeah, Duke, shut up.
Yeah, Cobra.
Honestly, the last time we were on this stage, I told you about the time I tried to get people to call me Cobra, and 13 months later, it has not caught on.
Yeah.
Earthworm, fuck off. Laugh, you fuckers!
They are, mate, they are. They're laughing at you.
Having a good... Hey, I'll take whatever I can get. In 1943, he caught malaria 6 times.
One less.
He had to be hospitalised, but despite this, he continued on with the war effort. But because he served with what is essentially the SAS, Lee was pretty tight-lipped about his time in the war. Years later, an interviewer asked him about his time in the SAS and what he did throughout the war. Lee leant forward and said, "Can you keep a secret?" "Yes," the interviewer replied, breathless with excitement. Lee replied, "So can I." What a guy.
But do that tight-lipped, though.
So can I.
That's how he would have said it.
So he didn't boast about it, but we know he was a badass because by the end of the war, he'd been individually decorated for battlefield bravery by the Czech, Yugoslav, British and Polish governments.
Far out.
So, yeah.
One more.
Thanks. I hadn't even counted.
Yeah.
I was just sitting here blissfully unaware.
For the last few months of the war, Lee was given the job of tracking down Nazi war criminals. So he's a Nazi hunter as well. His knowledge of multiple languages was used to interrogate the suspected criminals before handing them over to the authorities. He later said, "I've seen many men die right in front of me. So many, in fact, that I've almost become hardened to it. Having seen the worst that human beings can do to each other, the results of torture, mutilation, and seeing someone blown to pieces by a bomb, you develop a kind of shell. But you had to. You had to. Otherwise, we never would have won."
Honestly,
and that's you.
He can't sweat anymore. Just like... just like your very own prince, who you must be all so proud of. What has he done, allegedly? Don't tell me. I want to believe in the monarchy. The Crown, great show. It actually is making me feel for Charles. Hasn't had that effect on you? Our future king. You know your queen is our king? No. It's a confusing system, but it's something like that. Yeah.
Lee retired from the Air Force in 1946, having achieved the rank of flight lieutenant. But after the war, he was offered his old job back, although, funnily enough, after what he'd been through, an office job wouldn't really cut it anymore. So he decided to become an actor. As you do, exactly. Sorry, I've lost my place here. He didn't have a natural talent for acting. His main asset was described by The Guardian as a pleasant, dark baritone voice. And that's it.
Yes. I relate in some ways, only I have so many more strings in my bow. I can smoulder.
Stop it, it's too much.
Gotta hold some back.
Yeah. It's only 5 p.m.
I'm all hot and flustered after that.
Yeah, that's my after hours look. You got it before hours.
When do your hours start?
Yeah, what are your business
hours? It's a real
hours?
Short... It's a short period. 5 to 10 minutes each. Wait, what did I say? This is before hours. Yeah. Soon. And you'll know. You'll know when it happens. You'll be like, holy shit, he's on the clock.
These next 5 to 10 minutes are going to be amazing.
So he's not a great actor.
He's not.
Sadly, at this time. But he studied acting at what was known as the Charm School. But initially...
Is that where the three people from Charmed went? Would have been better if I could think of one of their names. Shannon Doherty. Brissa DeMarco. Alyssa Milano.
There we go.
And the other one. And the rest. I'm so close to walking off this stage.
Which way?
Maybe
that
just,
way?
Maybe
that
just
way?
Straight off, yeah. Do you think it's quite far enough?
You'd break something, but
okay.
It wouldn't be enough to...
No, you'd be fine.
All right.
If you land on him, you'll be right.
How far to the Thames?
All right. Far. He's studying acting, but initially he found himself dismissed by casting directors because he was 6'5" and described as imposingly tall.
Whoa, that would have been freakishly tall back then.
Yeah.
In the AFL, like in the, what era is this? In like the 50s, the ruckman, the tallest player, would have been like 5'10". And now they're like 10'11" or something. So.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And apparently it's because we're all eating KFC. Something about that, about the chicken. I'm only talking scientifically.
I'm really trying to go with you on things here, but, you know, Sass twins and all that, you are making it hard.
I'm gonna have a little time
out. Okay, you have a little time out. Dave, do go on.
So, he's too tall. A film producer saw his...
How tall is he?
6'5".
Well, that would have been massive back then.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll just keep talking. Great. Nothing else needs to be said. Actually, I know an obscure Australian sport.
It's not.
But a film producer saw what he thought was his potential early on. And quote from Lee, he looked me up and down and concluded that I was just what the industry had been looking for. Lee was then sent to Hungarian film producer Joseph Somlo for a contract, who immediately announced that he was much too tall to be an actor. So,
right, okay.
Someone says you're great, another person says we can't have you. Lee later said, initially, I was told I was too tall to be an actor. That's quite a fatuous remark to make. It's like saying you're too short to play the piano. I thought, right, I'll show you.
And he learned the piano.
You never look back.
It probably, I mean, you probably can be too short to play the piano.
Reach.
You can't reach it. Probably, they'd probably give you a chair. Science, huh?
Hmm.
Is it because there weren't lenses big enough for a tall man or something back then?
Couldn't they just film him sitting down a lot?
Matt Stewart, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not going to move any closer, though.
Oh, come on. I love, what lenses weren't tall enough back then. How did they film the Empire State Building?
From far away.
Well, they could have filmed this dude from far away. He persisted, and eventually in 1947, a couple of years in, he was cast in his first film, a British movie called... Matt is finding a chair. Mate, if you're not going to take a seat, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Have you paid?
No.
You prefer it from the audience.
Do we look good up here?
Yeah.
Do we look good up here?
Yeah, there's pink and blue lights. I think
it
looks
real. He said we look hot.
Anyway, I came down here to stop talking.
Oh. So I was telling everyone that he got cast in his first film, Corridor of Mirrors, but you're thinking, but he's way too tall. Well, the director got around his height by sitting him at a table.
Hey, hang on. Have you been here this whole time not believing we're in the room? Is this news to you? She can't not stare at Matt. He's been here the whole time. He looks like your brother. Oh, my God! That's so crazy! And you couldn't tell from there! How fucking close do you stand to your brother? Good. Anyway, Dave, do go on. Yeah, half a cider. She gets mean then.
It's weird. If you you get close to me, I look a lot like your mum. I'll stay up here. So, first film, guys. He's got the acting bug. And in the first year, he appeared in 8 films.
Whoa.
He's doing all right. He basically wouldn't slow down for the rest of his life from that point. He continued to play background characters for the next 10 years into his mid to late 30s. But he considered this time to be his acting apprenticeship because at the time he had no idea what he was doing. Being on set, he watched and listened to the other actors, picked up some tips, and then he was finally ready to say nothing. Because his big break was playing Frankenstein's monster in his 40th film.
40th?
40th film.
That's a nice number, though. Yeah. 40th?
40th film in 10 years.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a good innings.
It was the 1957 film The Curse of Frankenstein. In the film, Lee played Frankenstein's monster, and Peter Cushing played Baron Victor Frankenstein. It was the first film to co-star Lee and Cushing, who would go on to co-star in 20 films together. And this would turn out to be Lee's breakthrough because his role as Frankenstein's monster led him to be cast as Count Dracula in the 1958 film Count Dracula.
Ah.
Oh, I thought he was an actual vampire.
I'll get to that bit, sir.
They're a chatty crowd.
Yeah, my God.
It's weird.
This is the Dracula was a role that Lee occupied so well that his portrayal became synonymous with the character's appearance in popular culture. Oh. So if you imagine an archetypal Dracula right now, chances are you're imagining Christopher Lee. He's just the guy. He also added what has been described as a dark, brooding sexuality to the character.
Oh, Matt.
Journalist and historian Tim Stanley wrote that, quote, Lee's sensuality was subversive in that it hinted that women might quite like having their neck chewed on by a stud.
No. I speak for all women. Yeah. No.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, don't chew on it. That's gross. All slobbery. Get off. What are you doing? Anyway.
Well, you'd be surprised to know the film was a real hit and made Lee famous. He started many other films afterwards and continued to be prolific with his output. In 1965, 6 years later, he was asked to star in a sequel to Dracula, Dracula, Prince of Darkness. And this film, Dracula is completely silent, with Lee later stating this is because he read the script and hated it so much that he refused to say his line. Lee later said, quote, I said to the film company Hammer, if you think I'm going to say any of these lines, you're very much mistaken. So they just made his character silent. Screenwriter Jimmy Sangster, who wrote the script, disputed this, saying that he didn't want the character to speak at all, later writing that vampires don't chat, so I didn't write any dialogue.
They don't chat, they chew.
Yeah. But the film was another hit, and it led to more sequels. Many more. All up, Lee starred as Dracula in 11 films, including cameos, 7 of which were in the Dracula series.
11.
11.
One less.
I'm sorry. All right, he starred in 20 Dracula movies.
Matt, can you come back? Because without you here, I have to listen the whole time. I can't zone out.
We're going to pick one member of the crowd to join us on stage. Anyway, this guy.
All right, come on up. Don't do it. Don't. That's a really bad idea. Okay.
Yeah, that's sick down there. That's real good. Dude, I look like that lady's brother. And it was freaking me out. More the reaction than anything, but yeah, so he's a bloodsucker, but it sounds like...
No, he's her brother.
Okay. He's ginger. You don't have ginger people here. Apart from her brothers.
Is this your family? The ones with their heads in their hands?
Extended.
Extended.
Oh, right, so you're not the mum that I look like.
No.
Okay.
My brother.
Okay.
It's actually, yeah, step cousin, so.
Say again?
He does. Yeah.
What are the odds that I would have picked that chair?
There's one there.
Could have taken that one there,
There's one there.
Honestly, I think I've started something that's not going to be able to turn around.
We don't believe you, by the way.
Prove it. Sorry about everything.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. So he kept playing Dracula, and he played the last Dracula 15 years later, and he was super over it. Speaking at a press conference to announce the film, Lee said, I'm doing it under protest. I can think of 20 adjectives, fatuous, pointless, absurd. It's not a comedy, but it's got a good comic title. I don't see the point. And this is him trying to promote the movie.
And I love that word, fatuous.
Fatuous. He loves it.
Do you know what it means?
Fatuous.
Sounds good, though.
Sounds lovely. I may be saying it wrong. Mm. You'll probably be surprised to know that after his ringing endorsement, the film flopped. So he didn't have to do it anymore. During these years, he also starred in tens of other films, having been in 118 movies by 1973.
Two more.
Don't worry, he's going to do a lot more. So 15 years in, he's done nearly 120 films. He played other monsters and villains, including The Mummy, Fu Manchu, and Grigori Rasputin, the man whose killers he'd met as a boy.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. It was all research. It's crazy.
How method did he go?
Yeah.
How magic?
Yeah.
Finish it? No, it wasn't. You'll know when you see it.
He had a...
Someone just said regret penis. And I don't know how he knew, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
They are, yeah. Someone said... Someone gave me a show in Australia a few months ago, and they said, I couldn't... The biggest thing I took away from the show was, how skinny are Matt's pins? That was the biggest thing they took away from the show.
They weren't listening at all. Otherwise, the biggest thing would have been your amazing comedy skills.
Hey,
you were bracing for me to be mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good instinct.
Your legs actually look a lot like my brother. It's outrageous.
Don't freak out.
I've got photos.
I don't even have a brother. He also appeared in 3 Sherlock Holmes films, but he played a different character in each. He played Henry Baskerville in The Hound of the Baskervilles, then Sherlock himself, and then Sherlock's brother, Mycroft.
Ah.
He actually looked a lot like...
That took me a sec to get it.
He had auditioned for the part in a film called The Longest Day in 1962, but he was turned down because he did not, quote, look enough like a military man, despite 100% being a military man. In 1970, Lee had a role as the on-screen narrator in Jesse Franco's film Eugenie. He did the film as a favour to the film's producer. What he didn't know was that it was a softcore porn movie. I guess he didn't read the full title of the film, which is Eugenie... The story of her journey into perversion.
So we went from Bloodsucker to... etc.
In an interview with The Telegraph, he recorded the film. He said, quote, I had no idea what it was when I agreed to the role. I flew out to Spain for one day's work, playing the part of the narrator. I had to wear a crimson dinner jacket. I mean, there's a telltale sign. There were lots
dinnerware.
Of... Dinnerware. Yeah. Sexy, sexy dinnerware. There were lots of people behind me. They all had their clothes on. There didn't seem to be anything peculiar or strange. Later on, he'd totally forgotten about being in the film until a friend asked him about it and said, I think it's a porno. So he went to see it for himself. This is again from the interview. Quote, so I crept along there, heavily disguised in dark glasses and a scarf, and found the cinema, and there was my name.
That'll do it.
He's still 6'5".
Scarf on. Oh, who's that? He's wearing a scarf. It couldn't be Christopher Lee.
He said, I was furious. When I had left Spain that day, everyone behind me had taken their clothes off. He didn't know. In 1974, he starred as a villain and the title character, Francisco Scaramanga, aka the man with the golden gun, the James Bond film, based on the book by his step-cousin, Ian Fleming. Fleming had reportedly offered Lee the title role in the first Sean Connery Bond, Dr. No, but it didn't work out. What I read there was that Ian was offering a part that he did not have the right to offer. They just cast someone else.
I'm still thinking about this porno. How do you narrate a porno knowing it's a porno? How softcore was it? And what does that mean? What is soft... Anyway, something I can Google later, but something I've always wondered. Is that the kind of thing your brother has also...
He starred as the best. This is.
Why did I bring her in again?
He starred.
Sorry to say, what's your name?
Melanie.
Hi. Let's talk later. But Melanie is my sister's name. Could it be?
So he's in the Bond movie. He starred as the best and most highly paid assassin in the world, commanding $1 million per hit. And whilst Lee wasn't quite paid that well in the movie, it was his highest paying film until his later years, getting over £40,000 for his appearance. Despite this, he lamented, "The Bonds get the big money and they save on the heavies."
All right, mate.
It wasn't enough.
The Bonds get the big money.
Yeah, well, you're the
in a James Bond
show.
Film. Oh, they pay him more. Yeah, no shit.
The film is called The Man with the Golden Gun, and I'm the man with the fucking golden gun. If I don't go on, there's no show.
I'm the titular man. I do enjoy saying titular.
Titular's fine. I love the
is
word.
Is that soft
titular.
Call? Yeah.
What a fatuous remark. In the 80s, Lee played Charles Henry Sanson, the executioner in France who beheaded over 3,000 people using the guillotine, including King Louis XVI. Again, his younger years of witnessing the guillotine came back to help his acting. It's crazy. This whole time and throughout the rest of his life, Christopher Lee was supported by his wife, Git. I knew you'd enjoy that. Her full name was Birgit.
What?
She's Danish.
I was saying Birgit. I say nearly everything I think.
You can't tell. Before meeting Git, he had been engaged to another woman, the Swedish Henrietta von Rosen, who was the daughter of a powerful count in Sweden. He made Lee jump through hoops to get his daughter's hand in marriage.
Literally.
Yeah. Well, basically. He did a lot of stuff. He asked for references. He sent private investigators to follow Lee around. It was crazy. The final hoop was Lee had to get the permission of the King of Sweden to marry his daughter. For many people, this would be a very difficult task. But not for Christopher Lee. Of course, Lee had met the King of Sweden some years earlier whilst filming The Tales of Hans Christian Andersen, and they were friends, so he was able to receive the blessing no trouble.
Oh, my God.
Sadly, the marriage did not work out, and Lee went on to marry Danish painter and former model Birgit Git Kronke in 1960. They married in 61, had a daughter, Christina, in 63, and stayed together for the rest of his life.
What was her surname?
Kronke.
The prettiest name and part of her name. Kronke. Git Kronke. Oh, it's beautiful. I hope she didn't drop the surname.
Yeah, I hope she's Git Kronke Lee. You gotta hyphenate that shit.
Yeah. Oh, I like to travel Git Kronke Lee. That was almost something.
That's the kind of thing I would have said. And I loved it.
That was
much
for you.
Like
Melanie. No, no. Lee, I'm going to stand up for a little bit. He moved to Hollywood in 1977 for fear of being typecast as villains or monsters in movies. Until this time, he'd mostly appeared in British and European cinema. But once in America, he continued to be prolific and appeared in dozens of films, but he really hit his stride in the year 2000 when he was cast as Saruman in the little old trilogy called The Lord of the Rings.
Whoa. Who was he in that?
Saruman.
What? I don't know why I thought I would know what that meant, but...
The bad
it is
guy.
Funny that this man said 1939, a good year, 2000, silence.
Say it again.
I will not. Lee was a Tolkien obsessive, reportedly reading the novels at least once a year throughout his life, and had long dreamt of playing Gandalf. In the 90s, Lee began purposefully auditioning for wizard roles in TV and film just to get some experience and some credits. He heard they were making the film and he was like, all right, I've got to show them what I got.
I want to get typecast as a wizard. Yeah. Smart.
In 1997, he landed the role... 97 was all right. He landed the role of Wizard Olwen in the critically panned TV series The New Adventures of Robin Hood. He said, quote, "The only reason I did that was to show anyone who was watching that I could play a wizard and that I would be ideal casting for The Lord of the Rings." Then the movie was officially announced. Lee even sent director Peter Jackson a photo of himself dressed up as a wizard.
He didn't attach a letter or anything. It was just a picture.
Apparently, he passed it off as a joke.
Oh. That's smart. I'll just mock him. Just mock him.
No, it's
fine. Unless you want me to. Then I'm serious. But if not, just mucking around.
But in the year 2000, he was already 78, so he was considered too old and had to settle for Saruman, as the role of Gandalf required horseback riding and way more fighting. Isn't it crazy to be considered too old to be playing a wise old wizard?
Was a cut-off, yeah.
What's the cut-off?
Did Gandalf Ford in that film? That sounds sick. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Because I'm cool. We've got a 26-hour flight home. I'm sure you could manage to squeeze them in, just.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
Of course, Lee's childhood again informed his role, for as a child, he once met the author J.R.R. Tolkien. He was the only person that worked on the film that ever met him. He met Tolkien by chance, later describing it, "I met him with a group of other people in a pub in Oxford he used to go to called The Eagle and Child, and he didn't waste the opportunity to meet the literary great. He asked him, 'How do you do?'" Nailed it.
What, so when was Tolkien alive?
We did a report on him.
Did we?
You? I think you did it.
I didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
I think you did.
Which one of us did it?
Matt did it.
Did Matt do it?
Did I really?
Yeah.
I have zero recollection of that.
I could not have told you that we'd done a topic.
Are you sure you're not getting confused? I did Roald Dahl. Roald Dahl. Are you sure it wasn't her brother?
Did we do it?
We
wow,
did it.
Wow, I should listen
yeah,
back.
Yeah, well, it was alive, you know, yeah. It was alive around that time.
So that makes, that checks out, as we know.
Oh, my God. I'm having an existential crisis right now.
I had no idea.
Are we okay?
No.
His role in Lord of the Rings revived Lee's career and led him to being cast as Count Dooku in episode 2 and 3 of the Star Wars movies. That's what you were thinking about.
Yes, Count Dooku of the Star Wars movies. I've definitely seen those, and I actually remember now, I saw Lord of the Rings. I couldn't tell you a thing about it, but I don't remember Gandalf fighting in it. And I actually didn't see the end, because the end sort of... It was a fake-out after fake-out with that end. Have you seen it? The third one, it felt like it ended, but it hadn't ended. And then it felt like it had ended, but it hadn't ended. And I said, well, it's ended. But I think it kept going. I just left the room.
It's still going now. Starting in the 2000s, Lee also began collaborating with Tim Burton, starring in 5 of his films. He was knighted in 2009 for his services to drama. So the 2000s was easily his most successful decade, and he was in his 80s.
Isn't that amazing? He was knighted for his services to drama, and he was told he can't act.
Yeah.
That's wild. What a legend. This guy's sick. This is the best report we've ever done.
You'll forget it as soon as we walk through those curtains.
Who's it about again?
But in his late 80s and 90s, he added another string to his bow. Heavy metal. Seriously. In 2005, Lee was invited to perform a duet with Fabio Leone, one of the members of the band Rhapsody of Fire, and from there, he was off. In 2010, he released his debut metal album called Charlemagne by the Sword and the Cross. It was a symphonic metal concept album that tells the story of Charlemagne, the first Holy Roman Emperor and Lee's relative. Again, his background is informing the rest of his life.
That might be one of the nerdiest metal albums ever.
Oh, you don't know metal.
Yeah. That's great.
It was critically acclaimed and Lee won the Spirit of Metal Award in the Metal Hammer Golden Gods 2010. Which we all know that. His next album, Charlemagne, The Omens of Death, was even heavier. He dropped the symphonic part. It was just metal from this point. The music was arranged by Richie Faulkner, who's associated performing with Judas Priest. There you go. He released a couple of Christmas-themed metal EPs. And the song, Jingle Hell, entered the Hot 100 chart at number 22, making him the oldest living performer to ever enter the music charts. He charted at 91 years old.
Should we rename him Christmas Lee? You'll get that in a future episode.
Oh, man. We had a meltdown doing the Patreon read in the hotel yesterday.
Yeah, that was a joke for us.
And I shouldn't have said it out loud, but...
It will make sense funny. Soon.
It is very funny. Look at this.
That was on...
Being an audio medium, everyone knows that I nailed the thing I did.
Man, I don't want to interrupt you there, but sadly, all good things... must come to an end. But what a life!
That's wild.
Christopher Lee died on the 7th of June 2015 at the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital, less than 4 miles away from this venue. He passed just a couple of weeks after celebrating his 93rd birthday. His final on-screen role was in the... Sorry, he lived 3 years too long for you, Jess.
Or hold on for 2 more.
Ideally 7 more, really.
Yeah, ideally, yes.
That would be
more.
Good.
I want to die on my 100th birthday.
That can be arranged.
Thank you.
His final
on screen. Dave's going to kill me. How are you going to do it?
I hope I don't go with you because I have to survive 2 more days for me to make it to 100.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine seeing a 100-year-old kill another 100-year-old.
No, imagine seeing a 99-year-old kill a 100-year-old.
Oh, so close.
We can't film her on Louisa then.
No.
Because then you won't make it to 100. Matt, you'll have to kill both of us.
How old will I be? Think of a number and double it.
You are already too old to play Gandalf. I'm sorry to say. Lee's final on-screen role was in The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. They got him back for the Hobbit films. It was his 212th credited film appearance.
Fucking hell.
Let me...
Two less.
And just to wrap things up, I have a few more fun facts to round out the life of Sir Christopher Lee. What a fantastic life it was. Lee held the Guinness World Record in 2007 for the most screen credits. At that point, and he made more after this, he had made appearances in 244 films and TV movies. So if I haven't mentioned your favourite Lee film, then I'm sorry, there's just so many.
Whoa.
That was basically me stopping tweets.
Yeah. Actually...
I can't believe you didn't mention that film he did in 1971. Sir Christopher was a champion fencer. He showed this off on screen. It is a... He appeared in more on-screen sword duels than any other actor in history.
What?
He even did, in the Lord of the Rings films, he did some of his own sword work. Maybe Star Wars. Star Wars. No, he did. He did some Star Wars. The only stuff they didn't let him do was the stuff from a wide angle. I guess it's harder to cheat.
Who's the Lord of the Rings character that's older than Gandalf? Saragon. I mean, it's another thing I can look up later, but I can't picture it.
You'll look it up later and you'll go,
like that.
Yeah, you'll do
much
that.
But he wasn't always the best with the sword. In 1955, during the filming of the movie The Dark Avengers, Errol Flynn, fantastic Australian actor, got slightly drunk and in a sword fighting sequence cut Lee's hand so badly that his finger almost came off.
Yeah, cop that, England.
Why was he drunk while they were filming?
I'm pretty sure he was a raging alcoholic.
The swashbuckling Errol Flynn. Drunk? What?
That makes me miss home.
So he's cut his finger, almost cut Lee's finger off. Following this, Lee struck Flynn's wig off while he was still wearing it.
You never strike another man's wig.
Fl- Quinn, the star of the film, locked himself in his trailer and wouldn't come out until Lee told him that it was only an accident.
Proud to be Australian right now.
You've probably heard of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, that thing from a few years ago where any star can be traced back to Kevin Bacon in six steps. Well, in 2008, Guinness World Records declared Christopher Lee as the most connected actor in the world. He was believed to be able to connect to any actor in Hollywood in just 2.5 steps.
Whoa. What's a half step?
It's called an average, people. Look it up.
You guys just got schooled. Look it up.
Don't kill me. Finally, when filming Lord of the Rings, Lee gave the director Peter Jackson some very specific advice. Jackson was blocking a scene in which Wormtongue, played by Brad Dourif...
Isn't that your nickname? Wormtongue?
No, I'm Worm Gullet. In which he stabbed Saruman, played by Lee, in the back. Jackson went into a long explanation about how he wanted Lee to react, and Lee just stopped him and said... Have you any idea what kind of noise happens when somebody's stabbed in the back? Because I do.
That's sick. What a fucking legend.
Have you ever watched a man die?
Because I have.
Sit down, Peter. Let me act.
Lee informed Jackson that it's more of a gasp because, quote, the breath is driven out of your body. Jackson later said Lee proceeded to sort of talk about some very clandestine part of World War II. This is still Peter Jackson. He seemed to have expert knowledge of exactly the sort of noise that they make, so I just didn't push the subject any further. Again, his early years in the war had informed his acting. What a guy, Sir Christopher Lee!
Give it up for Dave Warnocky, everybody.
That was sick.
Yeah.
No wonder 18 people suggest that, including Jake Knight or what? Close?
Adam.
Adam Knight. Was it Knight, though?
No. Oh. Yes? No. We don't have to keep pointing at you. I'm sorry. What's your pin number? No, don't worry about it.
It's pin, not pin number. The N is already doing the work for the number, Jess. You just made a fool of yourself in front of all these people.
I've been supporting you this whole time.
And that was ironic what I just did.
Well, we've had some times tonight. That does bring us to the end of the episode. But Christopher Lee, what a crazy, crazy laugh.
Insane. Well done. Great report, Dave.
Thank
Great
you.
Great report, Dave. Round of applause for David Warnocky.
Thank you. Thank you.
Big round of applause for Adam Knight at the back. Yeah. So that's across Melanie down the front, my sister. My real life cousin is here as well, Isabel. Doesn't matter.
Alessandra on sound, thank you so much.
Yes.
Mark Chatterley, who's actually helped, he made this all possible. He brought us over here. So yeah. Big round of applause for Mark.
We love you, Mark. But thank you so much. Give yourselves a big round of applause. So cool to have you here. Thank you so, so much, London. And until next time, I'll say thank you and goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
And there you have it. Recorded live in London. Again, thanks to everyone for coming out and supporting us on the UK tour. It was truly the best time of our lives. It is Dave here, by the way. Not the one that looks like that girl's brother. That's Matt. The one that looks like her mother, I think I was talking about in the episode. But yeah, thanks so much for listening to the episode. Now, you may know that this show is supported by the good people at patreon.com/dogoonpod, the people that support the show through Patreon. And if you would like to become a patron of, or patron, as we sometimes say, of our podcast, you can go to patreon.com/dogoonpod right now and pledge to support the show every single month. And we put out 2 bonus episodes every month. We're going to be putting out a couple from the UK tour that no one else will hear. We'll be coming up soon. In January, I imagine we'll be having our annual Do Go On Awards coming up, the Golden Shiny Gary Awards. This will be our 3rd annual one.
So yeah, we put out one bonus report every month and then one other fun variety show. So sometimes it's a quiz, sometimes we have a chat, sometimes people send us questions, and sometimes we create a whole new show just for that week. So that's a lot of fun. You can listen to those episodes and also support the show through Patreon, and also join the Facebook group where we, people talk about the show, which is a lot of fun in there. It's taken on a life of its own. We don't really need to do anything in there anymore. There's so many people talking that, yeah, it's become its own little thing. A few people have become friends through that, which is really, really nice. And also, we give shout-outs to people. But before we do that, we have to go through the fact, quote, or question, which has a theme song that I will attempt. Fact, quote, or question. Ding! There it is. And this is the part of the show where people that support us on the Sydney Sheinberg Rest in Peace Deluxe Package level, which is the premium tier on Patreon, they get to write in with a fact, quote, or question and also give themselves a title, which is nice. And this week, Sam Cross is our first entrant with the fact, quote, or question. Thank you so much, Sam, who has given themselves the name The Great and Almost Magical Red Sam Cross. Wow, what a title. I absolutely love it. Now, you get to give a fact, quote, or question, and just reading slightly ahead here as I'm doing a mat and haven't read it in advance, Sam's given us a fact, but also a question, two in one. Appreciate that, Sam. You are not wasting your time here on the platform. Fact and a question. The question or fact starts with, the inventor of the Frisbee was cremated, and his ashes were made into a Frisbee after he died. Wow. Sam's question is, what would you get your ashes made into? Oh, my goodness. I know you can get them made into diamond rings. You know, they say those things sort of last forever. Is it weird to say a pie? Yeah, that's weird. Someone would eat the pie. I obviously love pies, but I don't want anyone eating my ashes. I'm not sure. What about a lovely pot that you could put a beautiful tree in that way? Because sometimes people put, they get cremated and then they become the tree. But then trees often die, especially in a cemetery or whatever. You know, you plant the tree in the ashes and then they live for 10 more years. But if you're a pot, and hear me out, like a beautiful ceramic pot, that could last centuries and you could just keep replacing the plant when it died. Was that a satisfying answer, Sam? Was it either pick pie if you want to go with the weird one, pot if you want to go with an off-track sincere one? Thank you so much, Sam. The Great and Almost Magical Red. And one more fact, quote, or question of this week is Michael DeRizzi, who probably doesn't need a title because that's such a great name. But Michael DeRizzi says his title is the unofficial homie of Patrick Mahomes, brackets. He's the star quarterback of my favorite NFL team, the Kansas City Chiefs. Right, so the official unofficial homie of Patrick Mahomes from the Kansas City Chiefs. I love it. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Michael DeRizzi. I've been thinking about picking an NFL team. I picked an NBA team a couple of years ago. I picked the New Orleans Pelicans as a bit of a joke because I thought their mascot was the silliest one that they had available. And now they had the number one draft pick with Zion. People are talking about how they, in a couple of years, might actually be a great team. So I got on board at the right time. But just know that I'm not a bandwagoner. I got on when they were not doing very well. And Anthony Davis was the only good player there. And I thought the team was the funniest one. But anyway, Kansas City Chiefs, that's a pretty good one. But is that the silliest NFL team? What's the silliest one? I really like the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders logo, because he has an eye patch, which I think is quite cool. But maybe tweet me at Dave Warnke. What's the silliest NFL team? I'll pick one. I will pick one. Anyway, Michael DeRizzi, the official unofficial homie of Patrick Mahomes, has also given us a fact, and it is about his beloved home state of Kansas. Thank you so much for writing in. Kansas, my home state, is home to the world's largest ball of twine. And if that's not exciting enough, no, it is. It is. It's 7,974,454 feet of twine rolled into a big ball. That is amazing. Wow. And a little addendum here from Michael. P.S. I understand why Kansas doesn't get much attention. It's because it's a boring fucking place. No, that's not true at all. You get the shout-out in The Wizard of Oz. No other state gets that. Thank you, Michael DeRizzi. Do you have the world's largest cat to play with that giant ball? If not, many cats will be crushed. Appreciate your support, Sam and Michael DeRizzi. Now, it's time to move on to the other section of the Patreon read at the end of the show where we shout out to six people that support the show through Patreon. And we usually play a game here where we assign them a title or a name or something like that. And what I've got here is, because we talked about the great Christopher Lee there in his 250-plus movie and TV roles, I've brought up his Wikipedia page for Christopher Lee's filmography for his TV and film characters. I'm going to scroll through this and at random give you a Christopher Lee character name, because there are some incredible ones here. Some in incredible names here. So thank you so much. First of all, from Boston, Massachusetts. Did I say it right? Massachusetts. What does Matt say? Massachusetts. Anyway, Massachusetts. I nailed that right. First go. Eric Stenark. Eric Stenark. Thank you so much for supporting the show over in Boston, Eric. And your official Christopher Lee character, I'm pretending this is some sort of a random character generator, you are the character Philippe Darvis. Philippe Darvis from the 1967 film Theatre of Death, a British horror film. Well, there you go. Philippe Darvis. That was his 87th film role. What a guy. Thank you so much to our Philippe Darvis, Eric Stenark. I would also like to thank from Northern Ireland in Londonderry, Chris Moran. Chris Moran, thank you so much for supporting the show, Chris. Let me give you your random character. Oh, wow. You are Baron von Storb. Baron von Storb, who's from The Devil's Agent, a 1962 film. Co-production between Britain, West Germany, and the Republic of Ireland. There you go. Based on a novel by Hans Habe. Fantastic. The Devil's Agent, Baron von Storb, a.k.a. Chris Moran. I would like to thank now a person who needs only one name. They are from Lower Hutt in New Zealand, and that is Mel. Thank you so much for your support, Mel, the one and only. We know the Mel. We know the right one. Skipping forward here, I am going to give you the nickname of Commandant Alexandre Nikolovich Rakov. What an amazing name. Which is a 1994 comedy movie called... Oh, it's from Police Academy, Mission to Moscow. There you go, from 1994, one of the sequels. The seventh and final film, and most critically acclaimed in the Police Academy films. The one that killed the series that no one thought would die. 1994, Commandant Alexandre Nikolovich Rakov. Incredible names. Incredible names here. Thanks, Mel. I would also like to thank from York in North Yorkshire, not far from Leeds where we were a couple of weeks ago now, Johnny Ollis. Johnny Ollis, maybe you're at the show. Thank you so much for your support. I would like to give you your random character. Let's go through here. Count Ludwig Karnstein. Count Ludwig Karnstein from Terror in the Crypt, a 1964 Italian-Spanish horror film, also called Crypt of the Vampire and Crypt of Horror. Count Ludwig Karnstein. Fantastic. Love those names. Thank you so much from North Yorkshire, Johnny Ollis. We would like to thank now from London, England, where this episode was recorded. Maybe you were there, Larissa Murray. Thank you so much, Larissa Murray, for your support of the show. And let's give you a nickname now. How about Prince Baldassar? Prince Baldassar from the 1981 film The Salamander. 1981 thriller film directed by Peter Zinner. Fantastic. From The Salamander, Prince Baldassar, Larissa Murray. And finally, another Englishman now from Liverpool in England. I would like to shout out and thank Matthew Doyle. Matthew Doyle, thank you so much for your support of the show, Matthew Doyle. Let's bring it home strong here. Let's find a fantastic name. Well, he did a lot of people with titles, I will tell you that. From A Tale of Two Cities, which I imagine is an adaptation of the Charles Dickens. It is 1958 movie Marquis Saint-Evremond. Marquis Saint-Evremond. I've just seen another one here. Resurrection Joe. Which one do you want? They're both good. That's from Corridors of Blood, 1958 film. Two movies he did that year. Two very different characters, I imagine. Marquis Saint Evremond or Resurrection Joe. Take your pick there. Matthew Doyle, thank you so much for supporting the show. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Do Go On. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another episode, which Australian time is going to come out on Christmas Day. So maybe you don't celebrate Christmas, or you're going on a big drive, or perhaps you just need something to put on after the terror that is, the exhaustion that is a Christmas lunch. The terror. I mean, how much pudding can you eat? So you can put that on next week on Christmas Day. But until then, thank you so much for listening to the show. And I will say a goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.